Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Braden.
And we are here to continue and look at the different deceptions of the devil, and we need to be on our guard. We need to be prepared. Today, for the episode, what we're going to look at is what God says in the warnings. How the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What are we to do? Well, we're going to look at Scripture today and make sure we're aware of some of these tricks. Satan wants nothing more than to destroy the kingdom of God. But we must make sure that we aren't deceived, because he is the great deceiver. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are light. In you, there is no darkness at all. And Father, I thank you that you put your spirit within us. You put your light inside of us, so that we can walk in light as you yourself are light, having no dark part. Father, it's a work that you do, a sanctification by your spirit, O God, that we have access to through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, gave himself as a ransom for all and paid the penalty for our sins. Father, I pray that as we go through your word will convict. I know it will. Father, open the eyes and the ears of those who are listening. Father, let them gain understanding from your wisdom and your words. We thank you, Father, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To start, I want to look at a passage in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, what instruction do we have?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
The devil wants to devour. Prowling around like a roaring lion. We're to understand and be on guard against him. In verse 9, what does it say?
Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
That's right. We're to know these things. So, one of the things I want to look at today is one of the things that Jesus taught about. And even before then, I want to highlight some passages. You know, in Revelation. Because God knows the work of the devil. In Revelation chapter 20, and this is towards the end. After Christ comes back at the seventh trumpet, something's going to happen. Go ahead and read chapter 20, verse 1 through 3.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while.
So after Christ comes back at his coming, Satan is going to be bound and cast into the abyss or the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. No longer able to go about and deceive the nations. Satan deceives in many ways. He creates deception across the world. But he'll be released again for a short time after the 1,000 years when Christ is reigning on this earth. And after that, what does it say will happen? And what will Satan go back to doing again in verse 7 and verse 8?
Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea.
That's right. And they'll go surround, and then the final battle at the end of the 1,000 years, what will happen in verse 10?
The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Forever and ever. But until then, you can see every opportunity that the devil gets, he seeks to deceive. Deceive in many ways. Very cunning. Very crafty. So we must not be ignorant of his schemes. And Matthew, we know that Jesus was doing the work of his Father. And Jesus went and he spoke a parable to the people. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through verse 9. What was that parable?
Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said to him.
Yeah, so just right there. So here Jesus gives an analogy of sowing seed. It's something that all the people could identify with. Maybe some of you who are listening, maybe you've tried growing seed before. Maybe grass, flowers, a garden, vegetables. And one of the things that you'll notice if you've ever done this, you know, one, birds will come. And they'll try to eat up seeds that are visible. Any seed that doesn't grow in good soil, it may spring up, but immediately dies. And then others that has good soil, it grows up, and then you have to deal with all these weeds that are battling it. You want to choke it out. And then there's the one, the good. And much of this is like the kingdom of heaven. A seed by itself, if it doesn't have a good heart and a good soil, it's not going to make it. If the wickedness and the thorns or the sin is not removed from a man's heart, it's going to choke it out. And the devil's always there, seeking to steal every seed of truth that's getting planted. But he doesn't steal all seeds. As we continue to look in the parable right after this, we're going to find that he plants his own seeds. Many of the seeds he plants is quoting the Word of God, but not in truth. That's a deceptive part. You see, he'll come to steal. He'll try to steal the true knowledge. He'll come to kill and try to take out any knowledge that is being spoken. He comes to deceive. He'll plant his own knowledge. He's relentless. Everyone who's listening, we must understand. How did we come to Christ? How do you have absolutely certain of what was taught to you was taken in the proper context? How do you know there isn't certain aspects of God that was stolen from you and you didn't hear it? How do you know you didn't hear certain aspects of God, but was spoken in the way the devil wants you to hear, so you have no power? Are you struggling with the things of the world? Are you being choked out? Is it a tiresome and burdensome life? Maybe there's a power issue. But let's look more at what Jesus says about these things. As you continue to go down later on in chapter 13, he explains it. So what does Jesus say in verse 18 and 19?
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside.
Now see, this is really significant. There are people who are going to hear the word of God. But what do they not do in verse 19? They don't understand it. And the evil one comes and steals that which was sown in the heart. You know, there's many people who are teaching the word of God that don't understand it. They only understand it through the wisdom of man. They cannot explain everything. There appears to be contradictions in Scripture, and they can't reconcile the differences because they don't know. They just arbitrarily plant themselves in one spot, and they start to take Scripture out of context to justify what they believe, but they cannot explain the other passages that appear to contradict. Those are people who don't understand. And they're teaching other people and perpetuating the lack of understanding. If you're in that boat, the reason why the seed that was planted has not grown into power and for you to overcome is because you were robbed of the full truth. You were never given true understanding. And that's why you cannot grow in your Christian life. Because you have no power. Because you aren't hearing the full truth and understanding. And verse 20. And verse 21. The next seed. What soil did it fall on?
But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
So this is somebody who hears the word. Did it say they received it? They accepted it?
With joy.
With joy. You know, some of you who are listening may recall the day that you heard the word, the truth. And maybe you received the message of salvation with great joy. You were excited. You were thrilled. Then over time, maybe it seems like nothing really happened. Maybe you never even suffered affliction or persecution for the name of Christ. Or maybe you did, and you didn't like it. So any flame that you had was killed. It died out. You see, this seed grew. It grew. But it quickly died. Did it bear any fruit? No. It didn't bear any spiritual fruit. There's some who are more concerned about what people around them think. They're more concerned with offending the world, their friends, their family, or whoever. They're more concerned with not embarrassing themselves. I'm sorry, that's not of God. It's not how the apostles or Christ walked when they had power with the Holy Spirit, clothed with power. That person doesn't make it, people. The devil wants to use any afflictions or persecutions of the world, any embarrassment, to steal and to kill the seed that was planted in you. Are you struggling with any of those things? You can escape it, but you need to get into the good soil. Only God can change the soil of your heart if you have faith and believe that that's what's required. Next seed, verse 22.
Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
So here you had a seed. It became unfruitful. It was bearing fruit. It became unfruitful. What were the three things? In this case, it talks about two. I believe Mark and Luke list three. But what are the two listed here?
The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches.
The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be his disciple, he must deny self, pick up his cross, and follow after me. For whoever seeks to find life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it to eternity. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? You know, Braden, some people are concerned about the worries of the world, their distractions. The devil will use the worries of the world to distract you, to choke you out, to put out and extinguish your faith. But does he say to worry about things of the world? No, he doesn't. Jesus talked about that. Lilies of the field, grasses, birds. If he feeds and clothes those, you of little faith, will the Father not do for you? So he tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. And not of the problems of the world, but doing the will of God. Where do you stand, you who are listening? Examine your life. Be honest. This seed, this plant, dies. It does not endure. It will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Luke chapter 8, I just want to look to see what it says. In verse 14, what does Luke chapter 8 say?
Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity.
Ah, so see, now we have another item added. Pleasures of this life. You know, some people are choked by the pleasures of this life. It's a sad state. Some people actually never even come to fruit bearing because they're already being choked by the pleasures. Braden, that was kind of your case. You never came. You never received the Spirit of God. Many people think they have. Until you've overcome, you haven't. Many people don't know what it means to overcome. So let's look at the last seed. And keep your finger in Luke. But we'll look at We'll look at both. So in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, what's the final seed and soil condition?
But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
And so here you go. It's the same seed being planted. The difference is, what is the soil? You see, the first thing you have to truly understand and believe. But then you have to make sure that you have a firm root and that persecutions or suffering for the name of Christ or embarrassment isn't going to choke it out. But then the other thing, or die, but the other thing is to be choked out by the desires and the distractions of this world. Those, the devil will use all types of tricks and deceit to choke it out. Question is, were you the good soil? And you see, what is the good soil? I like what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. What does it say the good soil is?
But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
See, they hold it fast and they continue to bear fruit with patience or perseverance. They continue to endure. As James chapter 1 talks about those who have a proof of faith. So that's the question when we look at that. Did you receive it with that good heart? And of course, only God can give us the good heart. But it's appeal to Him in faith. It all starts with faith, but a true faith allows you to endure and to persevere and to continue to bear good fruit. So, the last thing I wanted to cover back in Matthew chapter 13 is, yes, God is going around and seeds are being sown with a full truth. And we talked about what the devil's trying to do, to steal, kill, and destroy in his deception with those seeds. But that's not the only thing that the devil's doing. Oh no. The devil is sowing and planting his own seeds. Do you remember what we covered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? About how the devil is going around as an angel of light, an apostle of Christ, proclaiming and preaching the gospel, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but not in truth, not in power. So I tell people, you really must wake up and understand, what message have you heard? Did you have any of the seeds of God stolen out of your heart? Or worse, did you have any seeds of the devil and him preaching Christ, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit planted within you? Let's read about the work of what happens in the next one, the wheat and the tares. Go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24 to verse 30.
Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
That's right. And this is. And so we'll look at this, and we'll look at what Jesus says and how he explains it. But basically, you have somebody who sowed good seeds, and somebody went and sowed bad seeds. The enemy sows the bad seeds. So let's look at what Jesus says when he explains it. in verse 36 to verse 43. How does Jesus explain it?
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the ones of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth."
And verse 43.
"Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
So the devil is sowing bad seeds. Even though people are born into this world with a bad heart and born into sin, even though the Bible says they're born as a child while they're still in this world, until they're born again, born of God Almighty, they're a son of the devil. And we're going to cover that in the next episode here, that people need to understand where they start from. But until you're born again, you're of your father, the devil. So if you're already born as a child of the devil, what are these seeds that the devil has to plant? Oh, he's planting false seeds. Tares. They look like it. But the problem is when they come and they start sprouting up, you start to recognize there's a difference. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. The devil is out there trying to keep people in darkness. He wants people to think they're coming to light. Remember, the devil comes as an angel of light. So he can keep you in darkness and put you in a false light that isn't true light. We must understand the great, great trick and deceit of the devil. Otherwise, how do you know that the light that you have that is in you is not darkness? How do you know? Some people will misapply this passage and say, oh, you know, this is the church, you know, the people of the church. No, it's not. It's the world. This is the world. This is the work that the devil does in the world. You are to remove the wicked man from amongst you in the church. The world is different. Listen to the episode I did on to judge or not to judge. God commands both. And we went through it and explained it as God explains. But one last thing. We'll end on this. Luke chapter 11. Verse 33 through 36.
"No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light."
Amen. You see, one, if you are light, you are to be on a lampstand, so that everybody is always seeing your light, the good light. If you're struggling with sin, there's a problem. Have you not been cleansed from all sin, as it says in 1 John 1:9? Have you not been cleansed from all unrighteousness? Or does it still dwell within you? You see, until you see clearly the truth of God, even though you think you might be in the light, God says when your eye is bad and you don't have full eyes to see, your body is still full of darkness. And then he cautions you Watch out. Watch out that the light that is in you is not darkness. Someone who is full of light has no dark part in them. None. They are the ones that have been wholly illuminated. When God does a work inside of you, He cleanses you from all sin. He places you in His holiness. He sanctifies you. It is a work that God does. Do not be deceived. The devil wants to sow a false gospel in your mind, in your heart, so that you believe you'll always have darkness in you. I want to go to 1 John. I want to close with this. God was addressing members of the church. Some of you who are listening, you call yourself a member of the church. Some of you who are listening, you say and you claim that you have fellowship with God. Some of you claim it in truth. But most of you claim it in ignorance. Please, I'm not trying to offend you. I don't say that to insult you. I say that because I love you. Because God loves you. Because God wants you to not claim it in ignorance, but in truth. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, He says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too might have fellowship with us." That you might have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. It is with His Son, Jesus Christ. Brayden, there was a problem here. This first group that he's addressing in this church didn't have fellowship. But Brayden, they're in a church. They think they have fellowship with God. But he says they don't. He wants them to. He wants their joy to be made complete, but it hadn't been made complete because not everybody had fellowship. They think they do. See, here's the deal. They didn't understand the message about the light. They didn't understand the message that you can't have darkness in you. What is the message in verse 5? The same message that Christ announced to them.
This is the message which we have heard from you and heard from Him and declare to you. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all.
How much darkness is in God?
None.
None. Now, why is that significant? Most people say, well, of course there's no darkness in God. Well, how can you abide in God or in the Son, Jesus Christ, or abide with His Holy Spirit if you're abiding in darkness? You see, people will say they have fellowship with God. Does it matter if they say they have fellowship? Remember, God's saying, I want you to have fellowship. I know you say you have fellowship. Just because you say you have fellowship doesn't mean that you have fellowship. The question is, do you have darkness? What's verse 6?
If we say that we have fellowship with Him.
If, do you say you have fellowship with God? And yet do what?
And walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth.
You lie. You don't practice the truth. God's going to accuse you of being a liar. How are we to be walking? Who are those who have fellowship with God? How do they walk in verse 7?
But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Some or all?
All.
All. All. Now see, most people don't know these passages. They know the follow-on passages. They'll say, oh, Sam, no. You see verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's right for the first group of people he's talking about. If somebody doesn't have Christ in their heart and they say, oh, God is my Father, God's going to say, you're a liar. These people, the first group he's addressing, didn't have fellowship. Well, if they didn't have fellowship, it's only those who have fellowship with God who've had all their sins cleansed, who've been cleansed from all sin. Or in verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the confession of the wicked man coming in the truth. How much unrighteousness does he cleanse him from?
All.
All unrighteousness. All sin. But if you think you have fellowship with God and you still walk in darkness and you haven't been fully cleansed yet, you're a liar. You're effectively in the eyes of God saying that you've been cleansed from all sin, that you don't have sin in you anymore. That would be a lie. As he says, you're deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you. You say you have fellowship. You still walk in darkness. You lie. You don't practice the truth. This isn't to the saint. This is the one who's still in darkness. Same thing with John 3:10-11, or Romans 3:10-11. Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. No one who seeks God, no one who serves, no one who does any good. All they do is murder, steal, lie. Yeah, that's the one in darkness who hasn't found God yet. Listen to the episode we did on Romans 3. Do you see how the devil wants to deceive and distort? He only wants you to have half the truth, all you who are listening. You must understand these things or you'll be deceived. You'll be the seed that turns into the tare. You'll be the seed that gets choked out. You'll die. With that, we'll close in prayer. Father, I pray that you'll convict people right now by your word. Father, people who have questions, I pray that they'll reach out to us and email us, that we can answer their questions. Father, that we can point them to your scripture. They must have a deeper understanding and know the truth about your word. Because your word is good, Father. You answer all those questions. Father, I pray that they'll reach out. Their soul, their eternity depends upon it. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, I thank you for your patience. You continue to have patience, Father. You desire none perish. Oh, but Father, I pray that they see and they understand the danger that's at hand. And they say, just maybe, what if I didn't have the true seeds planted in me? What if I had some false seeds planted in me? Father, convict now. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.